Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness. To talk about money tonight. Now, as I said earlier, I know that money can be an uncomfortable subject for many. I don't like talking about my money with people. I'm just a private person in that manner. I'm not a very private person. Okay, I may be a little bit private, but I'm not a terribly private person. But I am when it comes to money. I don't like telling people what I make. I don't like telling people what I spent on things. I'm just private when it comes to money. Some people are the exact opposite. If they have money, they want everybody to know it. If they don't have money, they want everybody to know it. And there's no way that's right or wrong. It's personality, okay? If you feel comfortable sharing everything with everybody, that's your business. If you don't, that's okay too. But it can be a very uncomfortable subject for many people. But whether you like it or not, money is a part of life, okay? We can say that it's not, but in all reality, it's why you work, okay? It's the reason you were able to get here tonight is because you bought a car, you put gas in the car, you pay insurance on the car, you keep the oil changed, right? All those things require what? Money, okay? In order for you to come here not naked, you had to have money, right? It's like it's the old saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch. It costs somebody something, right? To be clothed, to be fed, to have a home. And so, like it or not, life is in life. Money is just a part of life. And so, you most likely work somewhere between 30 to 60 hours a week for money. If you're retired, you likely spent probably 30, 40 years of your life working for money so that you could retire, right? And it's interesting because 16 out of the 38 parables that Jesus told were about money. 16 out of the 38 parables that Jesus told. So Jesus taught on money a lot, okay? Quite often. And the Bible has a lot to say about finances, how we should use it, how we should manage them, how we should make the most of them. And I don't know about you, but I want to steward everything that God gives me to the best of my ability. Whether that's my time, whether that's my energy, whether that's my body, whether that's my emotions, whether that's the leadership that I'm called to, whether that's my family, whether that's my money, everything that I have, because one day I'm going to stand before him and he is either going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. And it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required of the steward that they be found faithful. And I want to be a faithful steward of everything that he gives me. You know, we should pay more attention to how we treat our bodies, because your body is what God gave you for the whole time that you're going to be. You're not going to get a new body while you're on this earth. Now, God can heal you. He can restore your body. But we are responsible to steward our body. And we're also responsible to steward our money. So in Matthew chapter 25, you don't have to turn there because I'm not teaching from there tonight. I'm just making a quick reference. But in Matthew 25, Jesus told a parable about a master who represents God, who went on a journey. But before he went on a journey, he called in three men from his kingdom, three servants, three stewards, and he gave them talents. Now, talents are a form of currency in the Bible. It would be like if someone called you in and gave you $1,000, gave someone else $2,000, and gave another person $5,000, or $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, whatever amount you want to put to it. What he did is when he left to go on a journey, he called them in and he gave them money. Now, this is a parable which shows us that Jesus made this story up. So he could have used any analogy, he could have used any example, but he chose money. Why? He was intentional about it because he wanted to show us that it's important that what he gives us, we steward it well. In his kingdom, he wants us to be people that are faithful to take what he gives us and to steward it well. You know, we call that parable, even if you turn there in your Bible, you know your Bible has little captions at the top. They're so cute. They put little captions in there for us. My Bible says the parable of the talents, but I don't think that that's a proper caption. I think the proper caption would be the parable of the stewards, because it's not about the money, it's about the stewardship. Because he was happy with the one that stewarded, the two that stewarded theirs well, but he was angry with the one that did not steward his well. So it wasn't even about the money, it was about the stewardship. What did they do with it? And so it was more about how they used the money than the money itself. And it says in that passage, I believe it's earlier in the story, it says he gave to each one. When he called them in and he gave one, one, two, and one, five, it says he gave to each one according to his ability. Okay? He gave to each one according to his ability. So he knew that the one that he gave five had greater capacity than the one that had two. And he knew that the one that he gave two had greater capacity than the one that he gave one. But they each had the ability to produce more with what he gave them. And so whatever you have in your hand, you have the capacity within yourself to double it, to triple it, because there should be 30, 60, or 100-fold return on whatever it is that God gives you. And so you have the ability inside of you. You may not make a lot of money, but you can be faithful to steward the money that he has given you. And that's what he is most concerned with. So you may wonder, why doesn't God bless me more? I'd give here, I'd give there. You ever play that game? Pastor Madison, I used to play this game. If you had $1 million, what would you do with it? Well, I'd tithe, and then I'd buy this, and then I'd give here, and then I'd purchase that, and I'd pay this off. And we used to do that when we first got married. What would you do if you, then you may have all these plans of this is what I'd do if I had $1 million. And my answer is, if it's all these great things, like I'd send $1 million to the orphans, and I'd, you know, buy all the lunches at my kid's school for the whole year. No, you wouldn't. You know how I know that? Because if you would, he'd give it to you to do. Because he gives to you according to your ability. So if you don't have a lot to steward, it's simply because you have not stewarded what he has already given you well. Because it says at the end of that passage, here's what it says. To everyone who has, more will be given. But to he who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. So if you would do all those great things, God would get it to you. Because if God can get it through you, he will get it to you. But if he can't get it through you, there's no sense in getting it to you because you'll just squander it. You'll just waste it. So to him who has, more will be given. To him who is generous, to him who gives, more will be extended. But to him who holds back, it will be kept from him. So here's something I want you to know about money. And that is that you're either managing your money or it's managing you. There's no in between. You're either making the most of the money that you have, or it is taking advantage of you. And the goal is to make your money work for you, not just in a bad way, but not in a, I mean, I don't mean that, you know, in where you become consumed with it, because then you're still working for it, but that you make sure that the money that you have, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot, that it's not controlling you. There's nothing wrong with possessions unless those possessions begin to possess you. There's nothing wrong with money unless that money begins to control you and drive you and make you do things that you shouldn't do, right? And so you're either managing your money or it's managing you, because it's not about how much you make. It's about what you do with how much you make. Okay? So you need to ask yourself, what am I doing with what God has allotted me? Because he's given to each one according to their ability. So what am I doing with the amount that God sees fit for me to have? Because the master said to the ones that had doubled their money or profited on their money, he said, you are faithful in little, you shall also be steward over much. So you can't get to the point of being steward over much unless you are first faithful with the little, right? I just recently heard a story about a young man that lives in Los Angeles, California. He's 29 years old and he makes $1.6 million a year, okay? That breaks down to $133,000 a month, and his monthly expenses are $1,333. He lives on 1% of his income because he's smart with his money. And he saves his money. And he's intentional with his money. He bought a duplex home. And his mortgage is $2,800 a month. But he rents out the other side of the duplex for $2,500 a month. And uses his garage as his work office so he can write it off on his taxes. So he can live in that house for free. Okay? That's making your money work for you instead of you working for your money. Right? But he didn't start out with saving 99% of his money. Why? Because he didn't always make $1.6 million a year. So you start where you can. You start managing what you can while you can, so that you can be smarter with your money and get better and better and better, right? Some people say, I can't afford to tithe. Can you afford to give 1% of your income? Then give 1% and then give 2%. Some people say, well, that's not faith. Well, for some people, 1% is faith. And you give and you give and you give, but make sure you're always growing, you're always giving, and that your heart matters. Because if you give 99% of your income, but you give it with a bad heart, it's no good to God. Because he's not looking at the amount on your check. He's not looking at the amount on your statement in the back. He's looking at your heart. Remember the widow with the two mites? It says that Jesus was sitting in the temple opposite the treasury, watching people dump loads and loads of money into the offering. And this little woman shuffles up there, puts two mites, which in our current currency equals less than a penny, into the offering. And Jesus thought it was so magnificent that he stopped his disciples and he said, did you see that lady? She just put in more than everybody else. They were like, somebody take Jesus' temperature. Is he okay? Because what I'm seeing, that wasn't more than everybody else. And she said, no, 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 look, they gave out of their abundance. She gave out of her poverty. She gave everything that she had. So you just give what you can and you trust God and you give, but make sure that as you work, you don't say, okay, well, I'm giving 3% and I'll just hang out right there. The goal is to get to 10%. The goal is to give offerings. And so you work yourself to where you can. There are principles though, regarding money in the Word of God, and they teach us about how to manage our money, and you can be sure that they work. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look, because you spend a lot of time working for money, so now let's figure out how do we get to the goal of making your money work for you. And the most important thing is this, realize God is your provider. That's the first step. You are not your provider. You are men and women, because I know everyone's situation is different, but the Bible says if a man does not provide for his home, he is rendered worse than an unbeliever. That's what the Word of God says. So we should provide for our home, but we realize that the true provision is coming through us, not by us, because God is our source. That's what I read earlier. The Lord is your source. He is your Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Like when Abraham was up on the mountain, Pastor Laura and I were talking about this story right before service. When Abraham was up on the mountain, he was about to slay his one and only son, the Bible says. There was a ram in the thicket. And Abraham named the Lord. He said, you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. God is, it's part of his name. It's part of his character. It's part of who he is he wants to provide for you. But here's the thing, God will never trump your free will. So if you decide, I am my provider, guess what? God's up there going, have at it, big boy. But I can get so much more to you if I can get through you and you allow me to be your source, allow me to be your provider. You have to understand that the book of James teaches us that, and I'm going to get to Proverbs, don't worry. I'm kind of cheating here a little bit, but not cheating, but I'm getting there. I will get there. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Okay? So, he's the one who blesses. So, all right, we're in Proverbs right now on Wednesday nights, right? So we're going to go to Proverbs because Proverbs has a wonderful outlook on money. There's a lot to do with generosity. There's a lot to do with stewardship. There's a lot to say about money in the book of Proverbs. And the writer of Proverbs was none other than Solomon, who was the wisest man to ever live. Don't you think the wisest man to ever live would have something good to say about money, how to steward it, how to take care of it, how to make it work for you? So let's look at what he has to say. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. This is one of those verses that I have chosen to allow to shape my life and the way that I live and the way that I manage the money that God has entrusted to me is by Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. And I'm going to tell you, whether it's if you run your own business or if you, any kind of job, any way that you make money, if you will seek wisdom from the Word of God on how to run that business, on how to conduct yourself on the job, on how to be in your home, how to be a father, how to be a mother. The Word of God will show you, will give you the wisdom, will give you the direction and guidance. I've never seen God turn away a seeking heart. I've never seen him say to somebody, you tried, but it wasn't good enough. He's just looking for you to try. So if you want to be better at what you do, just start by trying. Just start by seeking his word, reading his word. When you read his word, don't just read his word or read his word. Read it saying, God, teach me and show me exactly what you have need for to get to me so that you can get it through me today. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. The first fruits of all your increase. Our main goal with our finances is to honor God. As a Christian, our main goal in anything that we do should be to honor God. So when it comes to money, why should it be any different? It shouldn't be. Our main goal is, God, how, Brandon, can you keep that down back there, man? I'm just kidding. It better be Jesus calling. That's what people always say. Our main goal with our finances is to honor God. So that means our main goal is not to attain status or accumulate wealth. Our main goal is to honor God. Even before, and we're going to get to this, blessing others, our first goal is to honor God. But sometimes you honor God by blessing others. Okay? So here's what it says. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with everything that you own, and with the first fruits of all of your increase. All of it. Any and all increase comes from God. So therefore, it should return to God. And this is the amazing thing about God. He only asks for 10%. He could ask for 90 and leave us with 10 because he's God. And he can do whatever he wants. But he doesn't. He has chosen to ask us for 10%. You know, if you go over to the book of Malachi, it says, you would ask, how have we robbed you? And God answers the people and he says, you have robbed me in tithes and in offerings. You have robbed me. Then he says, you shall be cursed with a curse. Why? Because you robbed me of tithes and offerings. You may say, why is it important that I tithe? It's not important that you tithe for the church. It's important that you tithe for you. Because God said, if you do not tithe and you do not give offerings, you have robbed me in those areas and you will be cursed with a curse. He says, all the nations around you will ridicule you. But he said that if you bring the tithes into the storehouse, watch and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing, there won't be room enough to receive it. He says, I'll bless your crops. He says, I'll bless your homes. I'll bless your families. I will bless everything around you if you will simply be obedient to do what I have asked of you to do. Tithing is not a requirement of God. It's a request of God. Because he knows that if you give, he can give back to you. Amen? So with all increase, that's the principle that Pastor Mattis and I live by. If someone walks up and gives me $10, automatically $1 of it belongs to God. No, there's no option. There's no way around it for me. And I just believe that that is how it works. And the other thing is tithe is money, okay? It's not, I bought this for the church or I gave this and I'm going to give to the missions and that counts as my 10% because that's an offering. An offering is anything above the 10%. Okay, so your tithe is 10% of any increase, any income that comes into your life. And then an offering is anything above that. So that word increase in Proverbs, the first fruits of all of your increase, we're to honor God with. That word means revenue. Okay, the word revenue in the English language means the return or yield from any kind of property, patent, service, or income. So honor God with any of the first fruits of any yield, any return from any property, any patent, any service, or any income. That's why God was pleased with Abel and he despised Cain's offering is because the first fruits offering of Abel, it was his best. He gave it first. And I may have shared this before, but when I get paid biweekly. When I get paid, the first thing that comes out of my account is my tithe. Why? Because I want to live according to the scripture. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of your increase. Anytime my account is accredited or cash comes into my hand, the first thing I want to do with that money is give it to God. Why? Because I'm required to, because I have to know, because I want to. Because I understand the principle. If I give to God, God will bless me. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Okay? So honor is what it says that we should do. Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of your increase. Honor comes from the heart, which again shows that the manner in which you give is more important than the amount that you give. God would rather you give him $2 with a happy heart than $200,000 with greed and pride and just obligation and frustration. I can't believe I've got a tithe on this. He'd honestly rather just not even have it. He would rather have your $2. Yeah, God doesn't, that's another thing about giving to God is God doesn't need your money. You need to tithe more than God needs you to tithe. Because he can't bless you until you're obedient to his word. Okay, so make it a priority. I want to honor God with my possessions. And tithing is not the only way that you can honor God with your possessions or with the first fruits of your increase, okay? So we should tithe. We should want to tithe, not we have to tithe, but we should honor God with all of our possessions. Anything that I have, I want to honor God with it. Meaning if I have something, I don't want to do anything that would be dishonoring to God with a possession that I have. Whether that's a television, whether that is a vehicle, whether that is a home, whatever I own, whatever I possess, I want to say, God, I want you to be honored through this possession so that it doesn't turn around and end up possessing me, right? Because I realize my increase comes from him. In fact, Psalm 115 verse 14 says, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. That's a good thing to proclaim over yourself and your family. So that shows us that true increase comes from the Lord. It may come by the hand of man, but it comes from the Lord, okay? It may be a man or a woman on earth that writes your paycheck, but you realize that because you are his, he is your source, he is your Jehovah Jireh, and it may come by way of someone, but it comes from him because every good and perfect gift comes from above, and he will provide for you, he will take care of you, he will make a way for you. So here's the thing, money was never meant to be the goal. It's simply a resource that God has given us access to that he wants us to use to honor him and to advance his kingdom. Wealth is not even the goal. It's not about attaining. It's not about storing up. It's about realizing, God, you gave me this as a resource to honor you with and to advance your kingdom with. So money is fluid to me. It's not about stockpiling. Should you save? Yes, you should save. It's smart to save. Why should you save? Because Joseph showed us this in his life, that when there were 7 years of plenty, he saved. And because he saved, he had enough for the 7 years of famine. So saving is important. But we don't save just so that we can brag about how much money we have saved up or we can sit on it. We save so that, because what happened when the famine came? Joseph released. You save so that you can release, not so you can hoard more and more and more. Because there's a difference between saving and hoarding, okay? So we should save, but we shouldn't hoard and hold on to something. So 1 Timothy tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. You know, I kind of always thought it said that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But if you go back to the King James Version of the Bible, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not kinds, but all. The love of money. Not money, but the love of money. But the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of this world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So it's not wrong to possess money, but it is wrong to love money. To be driven by money, right? In fact, Jesus told us this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. It's absolutely impossible. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. Okay, so we're like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But then he just breaks it down really, really simple for us and makes it as simple as it can possibly be. He says, so you can't serve God and be enslaved to money. Because this, you could be like, oh, okay, yeah, I can't serve two different people. I can't work two different jobs. I can't be married to two different people. And then, Jesus, which all those things are true. Well, I guess you could work two jobs. But he says, you can't serve God and be enslaved to money. Showing us that if you are bound to money, you're not serving God. If you love money, you're not serving God. Because the love of money is tied to the root of all evil. And if you're tied to the root of all evil, you're definitely not in the camp with God and serving God. And so what does it mean to be enslaved by money? It means that every decision that you make is guided by money. It means that when something happens, your first thought is, what's going to happen to my money? It's that money is your God, meaning you are excessively devoted to making money, thinking about money, computing money, everything money, right? When you hear something politically, you go, how's that going to affect the economy? It's not wrong to have that thought every now and then, but if you are enslaved by it, then you can't be serving God. So we've got to learn how to not have that. And listen, another thing that comes into play with is poverty. Poverty is not being poor and not making a lot of money. Poverty, the definition of poverty is this, the fear of not having enough. So you can make $1 million a year and live in poverty. Because all it means is I'm afraid I've got to keep money, stockpile money, because what if one day it dries up? Because you're enslaved to money. And your money isn't working for you, you're working for your money, right? Okay, so our main goal with money is always to serve and honor God, right? But the second goal of money is to bless other people, okay? That's the second goal that we should do with our money. Because if we will focus with our money on honoring God and blessing people, we will be blessed ourselves. So that's why the second goal of money isn't make sure that you are well taken care of. Because if you will be faithful to give to God and give to others, God will be faithful to give to you. Now, you be wise, you save, you take care of what you have. I'm not saying you don't be a good steward. I'm not saying tomorrow go out and write a check for every penny that you have and give it to somebody else, okay? You have to have wisdom in the midst of this. Because look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. I love this passage. One gives freely and grows all the richer, but the other person withholds what he should give and only suffers want. That's why you look at somebody that makes $20,000 a year, but they tithe and they're generous and they are happy, they are blessed, they never miss a mortgage, they never miss a bill. And then you got somebody that makes $300,000 a year and they're stingy and they're rude and they don't tithe and they don't give and they're always mad, they're always frustrated, they're always complaining about not having enough money, because the person who gives will grow richer and richer and richer. But the one who holds back even what they should give will suffer want. In the kingdom of God, the way to increase is by increasing the life of others. That's how you get to increase. Because you can't be blessed living with closed hands. I heard Dave Ramsey talk about this one time. You know, he's just a guru with all things finances. And he said, you should serve God with an open hand. Okay? Because, Madison, would you hand me a mint? Oops. Okay. The reason I couldn't hold this mint is my hand was closed. So even when God is trying to get more to you, if your hand is closed, it will simply fall out of your hand. But if you live with an open hand, giving, loving, caring, sharing in everything, then God, you say, God, you're free to have whatever I have. It's yours to do with. If you instruct me to give it to somebody, I'll give it to somebody. Because if I give with an open hand, then I can receive with an open hand. But if I hold what I have so tightly that nobody can get it out, guess what? Nothing can get in either. So you serve God with an open hand, saying, God, I'll give you the 10% that you ask. I'll give an offering. I'll give when there's an opportunity to help somebody that doesn't have as much as I have. I will make sure that I'm generous, because the world of the generous, one translation says this, the world of the generous grows larger and larger. Because it's not just always about getting richer. It's not always about having more money. It's that your world increases. Your world gets larger. Your happiness grows. Your joy grows. Your peace grows. Your patience grows. Everything that you have grows, because you can't be blessed if you're living with closed hands. But when you open up, you are in a position to give and a position to receive. Remember what Jesus said? It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So the blessing isn't in the receiving, but it's in the giving. God told Abram in Genesis 12, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. Showing us that when God gets something to us, it's because he really wants to get it through us, because the main goal of having money is to honor God and to bless other people. Because if we get out of that pattern, then we've become selfish and we've made ourselves the most important thing in our lives. I need to make sure that I get mine, that I'm taken care of, that I'm provided for. Listen, you are not your provider. God is your provider. So if you honor God with your money and you are obedient to give when he says give, then he will provide for you. He will sustain you. He will make a way for you. He will put a ram in the thicket even when you didn't think that there was any other way that you were going to make it. At the right time, he will get it to you. So he says to Abram, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing, showing us that your prosperity is meant to make a difference in other people's life. I try to make it a principle that if I'm blessed, how do I make sure that someone else is blessed because of my blessing? Because if I'm not living that way, then I'll be stingy And like it says in Proverbs 11:24, he who withholds what he should give will suffer want. I'll end up in the boat that I really don't want to be in. So what you're afraid of happening will end up happening because you didn't release, because you didn't give. Your prosperity is meant to make a difference. But when it comes to finances, it's all about your heart, not your bank account. That's really what matters. That's really what God's looking at. God is looking for those who are willing to bless other people, willing to give. So be a generous person. Be somebody that wants to give with a cheerful heart. Now, I want to end with this, okay? Because we've talked about being smart with your money, being wise with your money, blessing so that you can be blessed. But listen to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1, because this is going to show you so much how important your heart is above your bank account, okay? Proverbs 19, verse 1. It's better is the poor one who walks in integrity than a fool who is perverse in his lips and is a fool, than the one who is perverse in his lips. Better to be poor and walk in integrity. So we can talk about money all day long, but God's saying, I don't want you to be poor, but I'd rather you be poor than not have any integrity. So what he wants for you is that you would be integral with the money that he has given you. Okay, now look at Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. God is more concerned with you having good character than good credit. God is more concerned with you being integral than you being rich. Because he's saying, one day, all this earth is going to pass away. And yes, we work a lot of time for money, and yes, money is important. But at the end of the day, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he's not going to say, well done, my good and rich servant. He's not going to say, well done, my good and you know, investing servant. He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Were you faithful with what you had? Were you faithful with what I gave you? I'd rather you be poor and have integrity and go to heaven than be rich and go to hell. You remember the story that Jesus told, the parable about Lazarus and the rich man? The rich man went to hell. Lazarus, who lived his life poor, was in heaven at Abraham's bosom, right? Jesus said, it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that doesn't mean that he's against you being rich. In fact, Proverbs says lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth, okay? There's actually a lot in the scripture about being rich, about being wealthy, but the key is to not let the wealth and the riches control your heart. In fact, if you look at all of the patriarchs of the faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were all blessed and they were all rich. The Bible makes a point to show us how much they had, how much they possessed. So it's not wrong to be rich. It's not a sin to be rich. But he said simply, it's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle. Now you may say it's physically impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Maybe you've heard this before, but the eye of the needle was, he's not talking about a physical needle, okay? In Jerusalem, there was a gate on one of the sides of the wall that was about this high that you could enter in through, and traders would come that way and they would have to strip their camel of everything and they would have to force a camel through an opening about this big. You can look it up on the internet, it's true. Okay, because you won't believe me, but you'll believe Google. I know. But there's a door about this big, and camels would have to squeeze through. And so they named that gate the Eye of the Needle. So Jesus was talking about a physical place, not a needle that you sew with. Because back then, they didn't, I don't think, even really have needles the way that we have needles. But they called it, maybe they did, because they had this name, the Eye of the Needle. But there was this gate, and he's saying it's easier, which it was a very difficult task to get the camel to go through that eye of the needle. So it wasn't impossible, but it was difficult. So he's saying it's easier to get a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, showing us that riches have a way of distracting us. They have a way of distracting us. It's not wrong to be rich. There's somebody that I know that is very wealthy. I would venture to say no one in this room could anywhere touch the wealth that this person possesses. But they are the most generous and loving and kind person that I think I've ever met. They provide for other people in ways that nobody else I've ever seen that has money like them will do. And you know what? Nobody is mad at that person for being rich. He realizes the reason I am blessed is because God wants me to bless others. Not just so I can have a nice house, not just so I can drive a big truck. Listen, driving a big truck sounds great until you don't have any food on the table, but you got a nice truck in the parking lot, okay? So you have to have your priorities in check, right? But he realizes I'm not blessed so that I can show off my wealth. I'm blessed so that I can bless other people. Now, does he have a nice house? Yeah, he's got a nice house. Does he have a nice truck? Yeah, he's got a nice truck. He's got two of them, actually. But he has bought vehicles for other people. He has put other children through college whose parents could not put them through college. He has paid for other families' vacations. He has sponsored churches to open. He's generous, right? So you think God's sitting up there looking at him going, you're not coming to heaven because you're rich. No. No. It's not about being rich or being poor. It's about being godly. Because remember this. Go back to Matthew 25. He gave to each one according to their ability. Obviously, the gentleman I'm talking about's capacity for managing money is greater than mine. Because he manages it right. So God will give you what you can handle. So if you're saying, I want more money, and actually what you should be asking is, I want to be a better steward. Because until you're a better steward and you will manage it the way he wants it to, he won't get it to you. But if he can get it through you to bless other people, to honor him, then he'll get it to you. If you want a breakthrough in your finances, you need to start focusing on stewarding better. Giving, saving, being generous. Listen, being generous isn't just about writing a check, right? I've had people say, you know, to me, about sponsoring kids to go to camp, right? And it's almost like they're like, well, every year I send a kid to camp, so here's my check. And I'm like, we'll get him to camp, but I don't need the attitude. You know what I mean? It's like, but that person that comes up and says, I don't have a lot of money, but I don't want anybody to miss camp. Here's $20. You know how much that means to a youth pastor that's been fundraising, that's been trying to get kids to camp, but you know that this little lady that's on a fixed income wants to give $20. It's like the widow with the two mites. I'd rather that than somebody come up and send five kids to camp. Well, here's my check because I do it every year. I'm like, well, I'm glad that you're getting your blessing right now because you ain't going to get it in heaven, that's for sure. I did say that to them one time, actually. No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. I did. It just wasn't out loud. It was in here, right? No, I'm just kidding. But God is more concerned, I keep going back to this, with your heart than anything else. That's why Proverbs, because I just got to slip Proverbs in here every chance to make sure this is legal and this is good with y'all since we're in Proverbs. Proverbs says, above all else, guard your heart because out of it flow the issues of life. Don't let greed get inside. Don't let stinginess get inside. But have a heart that's pure. Have a heart that wants to honor God, wants to bless others. And guess what? In doing so, he said, he who honors me, I shall also honor. But he who lightly esteems me shall also be lightly esteemed. And you can't outgive God. Maybe you've heard that before. And so when I say give, I'm not just talking about in that basket back there. I'm talking about to your next door neighbor, talking about to the person that you see, you know, that maybe this week you're going to stand behind somebody at the grocery store and they're going to say, can you put that back? I'm sorry, I can't get that this time. And you're going to get the opportunity, not in pride, but in humility, say, hey, would you let me get that for you today? Because when you bless somebody else, what you're doing actually is you're giving to God. You're lending to the Lord. That's what the Bible says. He who gives to the poor lends to God. And Jesus said, this keeps coming back to me. I think we need to get this. As much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, when you fed the hungry, when you clothed the naked, when you visited the sick, when you went to those that were in prison, you did it to me. When you buy that person's groceries that they can't afford, you're not just buying them groceries. You're honoring God with your money and you're using the wealth that he has given you. Because listen, wealth is not determined by commas and zeros. Because you can be wealthy on $25,000 a year, which would be around half of the annual income of the average American. You can live a wealthy life on that if you're blessing other people and you're honoring God with your money. Because it's not about how much you make. It's about the way that you manage what you do make. and you say, God, everything that comes to me, I realize it comes from you. So therefore, I want to honor you with it, and I want to use it to bless the creation that you have put around me, the people that are in need. And if you will do that, trust me, he'll be your Jehovah Jireh. He will be the Lord who provides. And so be faithful to honor God with your money and to bless those that are around you. Amen. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Now, if somebody asks you, you know, does your pastor talk about money a lot? Now, I guess you're going to have to say yes, but not a lot, but sometimes. But the Word of God instructs us in every area of our life. I've heard this for years, and I believe it to be true. If you can't give God your wallet, what makes you think you can give him your heart? Right? If we are unwilling to give God money, what makes us think that we've given him our heart? Because if he has your heart, he has everything, right? And so whatever he says, we should be obedient to do. So let me pray over you tonight. God, I just pray what we read earlier of the sower's blessing over your church and your people tonight. God, I break off the curse of debt. I break off deficit spending right now. God, the mindset of I have to have it. I have to have it. So I'll use the credit card. So I'll go get a loan. So I'll borrow from a friend. God, I break that off in the name of Jesus. And right now I declare that you will be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. As we honor you with our money, with the first fruits of every increase, God, we declare it belongs to you. We give it to you, God. We give it with happy hearts, cheerful hearts, because we realize everything is from you, through you, and then back unto you, God. And you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. We trust you that you can provide, that you are great, that you are mighty, God. And so we just believe that though the economy may look shaky at times, there's no recession in the kingdom of God, and you are faithful. And we give glory and honor to you. Now I say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile on you, and may you honor him with your money, and may you bless other people, and may you be blessed because of it. Cast your bread upon the water, and soon it's going to come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall it return into your bosom? I say that in the name of Jesus. Amen.